Lord Jesus, we cannot thank you enough for giving us the instruction of your word, the wisdom of your word, the understanding of your word, the true guidance and leadership of your word. May we receive it. May we believe it. May we walk in it. May we walk the walk and not even waste our time talking the talk. Let our deeds be the most obvious thing about our Christianity. God, please be with us and teach us what we ought to know. May the lesson of your word tonight change us all. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Another proverb, another greeting to his sons and daughters. My son, keep my words. Treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Please give me your attention. Quick story. One time, pastor said this story, and I always dug it. I always got a deeper understanding. Because the law of God is so filled with thou shalt nots, and as people, we want our personal stuff. Don't mess with my personal life. I like the whole church idea, but I know when I go to church, somebody's going to tell me what to do with my money. Somebody's going to tell me what to do with my body. Somebody's going to tell me what to do. Pastor Bob explained it this way, and I always dug it. You look at a bird in a cage, and the first thing some people do is they feel sorry for that. Look at that poor bird stuck in that cage with bars. Poor thing. It's wrong to put him in a cage like that. But if you can get inside of the mind of that bird, that bird's like, are you kidding me? I got some millet spray. I got some water. I got a bucket of food. And these bars keeping all these nasty things out of my life. He said, look at the Bible like that. Next time you think about your personal preferences and pleasures, God's not a bummer. He's not here trying to take your pleasure away. God's word is not cumbersome. It's the opportunity. It's reading the manual of your car, of your vehicle. And it says, hey, in this car, it's best to use this kind of oil. In this car, it's best to use this kind of fuel. In this car, it's best to change your, to use this, to, and you go, that's ridiculous. Don't listen to that. And that's what we do. We put a different type of oil in our machine, and it runs a little funny. Some of you guys like to use that high-octane fuel. You feel me? And all it does is make your car run weird, but you think it sounds good. If you've ever not seen a video of yourself drunk, I highly recommend it. Because the way you look and the way you think you look are two totally different things. Totally different things. So when we read the word, especially the Proverbs that we're going through, 6 and 7 and 5, and it's a lot of don't do that. Listen, I know this is crazy. I know this is going to sound insane. But I gotta wonder, how does anybody get saved at all? I mean, honestly, why would anybody get saved? Think about this for a second. Everything that you want to do that's in your heart, the Lord says, come to me, and I'm going to basically tell you don't do everything that you want to do. I mean, if a pastor is being honest, if there's an open communication here, he should say, listen, don't get saved. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It'll put a crimp on your style. You really, drinking won't be good anymore. Sleeping around won't feel good anymore. I mean, it's just, don't waste your time. That would at least be honesty. Because here's the thing, nobody could ever explain to you the emotion of fulfillment. Like, try to describe fulfillment. Well, fulfillment feels like on the inside, like everything is like cool on the inside, even when everything is totally uncool on the outside. You know what I mean? If you're smart enough, you go, no, I have no idea what you mean. But if you have the spirit inside you, you go, oh, I know exactly what you mean. But how do you describe that? How do you convince somebody of that? Listen, if you're here and you haven't taken a wife or a husband yet, as crazy as it sounds, one is all you need. No matter how good things go, no matter how bad things go, stay with the one. Because every lover you pile on is less of a lover. Do you got that? We talked about the chemical aspect of it a couple of weeks ago. I'm not going to go through that again. I want you to realize that everything that you've been told, and I'm talking again to you here that have not found, maybe you're here and you're currently in the middle of, man, there's this dude in the office and he always has nice things to say, but my husband, he's kind of like a jerk, and maybe the girl gives you the second look, and maybe, you know, your wife just ain't living up to the promises, and leave that on pause right there. Bind them on your fingers, speaking about his commands, his law, and his word. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister. And call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I explained to you that this is going to come up again. Listen, in our day and age, we believe it's the looks. We have filters, we have pictures that you can enhance, we have lighting different. It ain't the looks. It's the words. It's the words that snare you. It's the words that get you. Been married for too long? Pastor Ken always talks about, says you can't be that farmer who marries his wife and says, woman, I told you I loved you when we married. If anything changes, you'll be the first to know. No. Not a recipe for a good relationship. When you're talking to your ex online and your wife or current girlfriend sees it and she gets upset because she knows. She knows. There ain't no reason for you to be friends with your ex. Your ex has nothing for you. That's why they're called ex. You should give your ex the axe. Oh, but we were really good friends. No, you were sex partners. Women know. We left a couple weeks ago. I was talking about this crazy story a few Sundays ago about this girl in the bank that we saw. And as soon as we left, we got home, my wife goes, I knew that girl had something for you. So what are you talking about? Oh, was that girl in the bank? I went there one time with you. I knew it. I saw the way she looked at you. I'm like, I never touched her, baby. She goes, that's why you're still alive. Like, you know, baby, this is 15 years ago. She goes, I don't care. It was 15 minutes or 1,500 years ago. All my exes live in Texas. That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee. Thank you. I never knew the rest of the words to that one. Now, the next dozen, 20 verses, you have to read this because we turn into a story. We turn into this picture, this scene. But make no mistake about it, it's a symbolic scene that everybody in the world can understand, that everybody could say, man, I know what you're talking about. I'm going to read it to you with a little emotion, with a little flair maybe, but I want you to picture in your brain. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. Give me your attention, please. Who's doing the talking here? Was it Solomon who wrote this? Was he being the voice of God? Or was it a next door neighbor? Just in my house, we used to have these things called blinds. Did anybody have those? The metal blinds? You turn, and when you pull them down, it When I first moved down to Florida, my grandmother lived in Margate, and she had the louvers, the thing that you turn, and the windows that are frosted that go beep. That's what they do. Chalicey windows, is that what they're called?
No.
Turn them. So whoever it is that's doing the speaking here, oh my goodness. Maybe it's the enemy. I don't know who it is. But here's what I can't help but thinking. They were watching me. You ever watch somebody... You want to do something really funny? Guys, do this. And I mean guys and gals. Next time you're at the airport and you see people getting off the plane, making their connections or on their way to make their connections, whatever love connections they're making, and women and men are dressed in, you know, to the nines in their best and least, if you know what I mean, instead of looking at them and people watching, which is a whole lot of fun, look at the other people around that are watching. The men that are staring at the women with their tongues hanging down to the ground, like thinking they're going to, like, it's the funniest thing in the world. When you see a really nice looking girl or a nice looking guy walk by, don't look at that person. Look at all the people around. It's hilarious. I can't help but visualizing myself as a young guy in high school, trying to fire up the mustard in my veins to go talk to a girl. Do you remember trying to talk to somebody in high school? Social suicide? Passing notes, there you go. We didn't have text messages when I was growing up. There was no texting, there was no online, there was no such thing as the internet. Guys, I want you to understand that, okay? Let's get this for a second. Because there's a lot of young folks in here. Let's get this straight. When you wanted to meet somebody in high school, you had to ask a friend if they knew a friend who knew this person. And that took days. And then look, if something happened where you can do that, did she say she liked me? Does she have a boyfriend? Well, I didn't ask that. Do you understand? You'd have to be a senior by the time you got a date. Why am I laughing? Because I just see this. And now, for our purpose, if you don't think that there's somebody online looking through their lattice, opening the chalice and listening to, look at the line of garbage this dude's throwing out. If you think that Mark Zuckerberg ain't reading your emails late at night, it's the craziest thing. Why is every Silicon Valley billionaire the creepiest looking, weirdest guys in the freaking world? Absolutely. I mean, Jack Dorsey, with his new beard now. No wonder they had to create an online social media. They are the most socially awkward people you've ever seen in your life. We got this really nice kid that works for us. He's a really nice kid. And he's in his 20s. But you can tell he's been looking at a computer his whole life because he does not know how to read a situation. He doesn't know how to read facial expressions and vocal tones. And when you look at him when you're talking to him, the first thing he does is... And it's incumbent upon us parents and you that are here to learn the ways of communication by reading the nuances in people's faces. I love to quote this movie. There was a movie, I do not remember the name of it, but Val Kilmer was in it. And he plays this guy who goes blind. Huh? The Saint, is that what it was called? It's called Blind? He's blind. Don't look it up. Doesn't matter. I don't remember any of it. I don't know if it's a good movie, bad movie. I just remember a scene that really, really moved me. So and it's supposedly based on a true story where this dude gets his sight back. Val Kilmer in the movie gets his sight back, and he looks at his girlfriend, and the first time he sees it, he goes, "Oh my goodness, you're so beautiful." And she says to him, "How do you know I'm beautiful?" And he says, "Well, honestly, I think anything you were to look like would have been beautiful, but I'm really glad that you really are beautiful." And then later in the movie, he wants to explore the world. He wants to go around and see. And she ain't used to this. You know, her boyfriend is this blind dude who's stuck in the house. And now he's like, "We're going to go and we're going to see the desert." And she gets this look on her face. And he gets his emotions. She says, what does that look mean? I don't know what that look means. What does that look mean? And I thought about that. Imagine living your whole life not knowing what a look meant. A smile.
I ain't gonna tell you what it means anyway.
No, serious. It was a really moving thing because he was like, what is that? Why are you upset? Why? And if I remember correctly, toward the end of the movie, he loses his sight again. But it's so indicative of us not realizing that there's people looking through the lattice at us. That rhymed. Man, there's always somebody watching you. If you've not read George Orwell's incredible book, the 1984, you have to read 1984. If you'll think, and I think the book was written in the late 50s, was it, or 60s? George Orwell, 1984. When you hear the word Orwellian, that book has created a saying, we are living in George Orwell's 1984. Now that I've painted that picture, that silly, silly picture of somebody watching you all the time, keeping in mind that I pressed pause on another button earlier. Remember that button I pressed pause on? Now let's put it all together. For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. Passing along the street near her corner, he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. I want to tell you, the saddest thing to be is that dude or that woman who is being described here. Because some women find such an inability to love and respect themselves on certain nights when their needs overwhelm them, they have to visit somebody who can't stand them. In our day and age, I believe they call it the hookup. Just because they don't believe in the love that they could have for themselves, or the respect that God has, or the love that God has for them. And this is hookup. Hey, man. And it's so sad to me. And I'll tell you what makes it even sadder. That I have daughters. And God forbid any of my daughters should ever have to feel so alone and so in need and so lonely that they have to hook up with somebody they don't know to fulfill a need they didn't. A need that's connected to an emotion that will never satisfy. Oh, I pity that person. I do. I know what that's like. I know from experience what that's like. To get a phone call in the middle of the night or make a phone call in the middle of the night. And there, a woman met him. And she's dressed like a whore. And she had a crafty heart. She's loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times, and I'm going to put in my own version, he was outside. At times, in the open square, he was lurking at every corner. So he caught her and kissed her. Going back now. With an impudent face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. Now, verse 14 is interesting in case you don't know scripture. I want you to think about something. That birth control was developed in the 60s. Feminine hygiene products were developed shortly before that. So what she's saying in verse 14 is like, I'm not in that place every month. I'm cool. I have been declared clean according to the Bible. Oh, you're going to invoke like we care? So I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. Verse 15, if you want to, circle it, and right next to it, 90-day fiancé. Because if you've not seen this show, for the purpose of studies only, if you get past your laughing for a second, and you just go, oh, there's this one black dude. He's kind of a heavyset black dude, and he falls for this blonde chick in like Europe somewhere. This is like 3 or 4 seasons ago. We stopped watching it. I couldn't get past. My laughing had to at some point come to an end and go, I can't anymore. It was so funny at first, but they went to more. It's like every TV show, it gets worse and worse. They had this show on TV called Rain. The first 2 seasons were like so cool. It was all about the kingdom and then how England and Mary, what was her name? Mary, Queen of Scots, got to power. It was so filled with cool history and how when they lived in here and how the... Season 3 was the weirdest thing you've ever seen. Like, how did I get here? That's how it was with 90 Day Fiancé. The first two seasons, so funny. They're like, oh my goodness, this is, are these people serious? Are they stupid? By the time you get to this dude that falls for this girl, you're like, are you kidding me? He's borrowing money from people at work to send to her. And then you find out he's never met her. And how long has this been going on? Years. Oh yeah, we're gonna meet in Costa Rica. Oh, my flight got canceled. And this sap is in Costa Rica. Oh, it happened 5 times. It's the saddest thing. And the dude, I can't buy food because I'm sending her money every month. And then she needs, and this is this verse right here. I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face. And I have found you. And you believe that? This is one of the most famous lines. Well, it's not one of the most famous, but it's a very famous line in the movie The Godfather, where Michael is talking to Fredo. And Fredo says to him, I'm not dumb like everybody says. I'm smart, and I demand respect. They told me I could get a piece of the action. It'd be something for me. And Michael looks at him and goes, can you believe that? And how many times I've used that line? Can you believe that? And he goes, what do you want to say to these people on 90 Day Fiancé? Can you believe that? And this is what you want to say to these people in verse 15. And you believe that? I came out to meet you. Me? No. And then she goes, because her gaze has stolen his eyes now. Because she's gotten his attention with her words, she pulls and she ties a ribbon, what looks like a red ribbon around his heart, but it's not. It's a chain. And here she goes, the description. I have spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. That word for love is not agape, guys. That's the Hebrew word for physical intimacy. Let us delight ourselves with love. And then, because she's dug the pit, or he has dug the pit, and in case you haven't noticed, guys, I want you to look real quick. See this here? This is my left hand. Watch this. See what happens when I take my ring off? Can you see that white band around my finger? That means the idiot took their ring off before you saw them. It's not a rash. It's not a disease. He's married. And he's lying to you. But when it's too late, when he's stolen your heart, when he's told you all these things, my wife's not home. She's gone a long journey. Oh, she's taken a bag of money with her, and she's coming home at the end of the month. Now, there's two things there. Number one, why are you leaving your husband for a month? Number two, what are you doing with a married person? What are you doing? There's a movie everybody's got to watch if you're into this thing. It's by, it's called The Family That Prays. What's that dude's name? The black dude that makes the movies? Tyler Perry. There's some scenes in there that are just classic. But there's a scene toward the end where the mother is talking to her two daughters. And the one daughter has been sleeping at her company with the boss and thinks she has a kid with him. And now it's all found out. And she tells her mother, it's okay because now we're going to get married. And she says to him, that man is not going to leave her husband for you. I'm not going to leave his wife for you. And she's like, great actress. I don't know what her name is, but I mean, with tears, I taught you guys to love God and to love people. What happened to you, child? It's just, it's one of those extremely touching movies that every once in a while, if you're a dude and you're watching with your wife, you're like, I ain't crying. Yeah, this is it. Whoa, this is spicy. These potato chips are spicy. I gotta go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Ah! I'm trying to make this as descriptive and as pictorial as I can. I'm trying to rescue somebody here from any one of these crimes that you're committing against yourself. We do this thing in jiu-jitsu, because I haven't brought up a jiu-jitsu reference yet today. When we first get to the gym, we start by stretching, and then we start by warming up. And then after the running, then we do what's called drills. And I say, okay, do 20 leg lifts, 20 jump overs, or whatever it is. And some of the guys, they're like, hey, he didn't do 20. And I look at him and I go, who's he cheating? Not me. Not you. He's only cheating himself. If the coach says do 20 jump overs, do 20 jump overs. If you don't do 20 jump overs, you're only hurting yourself. Who are you hurting? Dude, you're only hurting yourself. God's speaking to somebody in here. Stop talking to that person online. He is not going to leave his wife for you. In this day and age, or his husband. And here's my favorite line. If she's cheating on him with you, who do you think she's going to cheat on you with? Come on. There's a saying we have. People can't change. But God can change people. Anything else? Man. People, me and my wife, our testimony of our relationship, they Calvary Fort Lauderdale one time, they had this book. Do you remember what it was called? What was that book called that we were in, babe? This is a great story. Somebody at Calvary Chapel wrote a book about all the testimonies. And they wanted to use our testimony. It was really dramatic, you know, the whole situation of our lives. But they wanted to protect people. So guess what my name was? Tony. Guess what my wife's name was? Angela. Guess what my wife did for a living when I first met her? Sold insurance. Guess what Angela did for a living when I first met her? And Tony, what did your wife do for a living? It was just a beautiful testimony. And in that book, the story of our lives, people read it, and a couple of people, oh, man. That's really cool testimony. But here's the bad thing that happened with that book. Do you know how many women that were friends with me and my wife that wound up hanging out with dudes that weren't saved or were just not treating him right. And they said to my wife, well, look how things turned out for you. Ryan really turned it around. And she would say, oh, no, no, no. You don't want to go through what I go through. You did not. No, 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 you don't want to do that. Oh, but it turned out to be a great testimony. We still have a lot of scars. We still got a lot of residue in our lives. We can't never get to the highest plateaus because of the way we treated each other for so many years. Don't do that. Don't use that as an excuse for seeing somebody who ain't treating you right. He ain't gonna leave his wife for you. And if she's cheating on her husband with you, she's gonna cheat on you with somebody else. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. And immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter. Do you know how they slaughter oxes? Do you know how they slaughter cows? They have a halter on them. They walk them into a stall. No, they had a, you see, have you seen a machine? It's a rod. It looks like a little, it almost looks like a microphone. And a 4 to 6 inch rod comes out of it. And they put it up to the thing's head. And it comes out. Boom, boom. Shoots them right in the brain. Drop right dead. They cut it open. Drain out the blood before rigor mortis sets in. And there's lines of them. And they just keep walking, line by line. Like, you think one of them would look at the other one and go, I ain't going over there. And isn't that like a picture? Like, show of hands, how many of you guys know a couple that ever got divorced? All right, same question. How many of you guys ever know a couple that got divorced and it was like the most horrible thing you've ever seen in your entire life? Oh. Then why are people still getting divorced? Because they're like sheep that go to the slaughter, that are oxes going to. They asked Billy Graham's daughter Ruth. No, it was Billy Graham's wife. No, they asked Billy Graham's wife, "Have you ever thought about divorcing your husband?" And you know what he said? I mean, you know what she said? Divorce? No. Murder? Yes. That was Billy Graham's wife's answer. A man who was faithful in ministry for more than 60 years. Have I ever thought about divorcing him? Oh, no. Murdering him? Yeah. Or a fool goes to the correction of the stocks till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost his life. You see the pictures here? Look at the animals that he chooses to use here as references. Oxes. Birds. What they used to have this set up is they used to have what's called a fowler. And the fowler would make this big net. It was like 6 foot long, 4 foot wide. And they would take posts and they tap them into the ground. And then they would wrap bark around it, and then they'd pull it back and they'd nail into the ground, and then the fowler would come and he'd put the bird seed on the ground and he'd walk away, and when the birds were there, he'd pull the string off, the post would come out of the ground, boom, net the birds, and they do it over and over And not one bird was like, I ain't going to eat that food. Yeah, but it's tasty cream donuts. Well, that won't cause no indigestion. The better it looks, the more dangerous it is. Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into his, I add, paths, meaning no disrespect to the word of God. For she cast down many wounded. I want you to see the first half of verse 26. It is imperative, important, understand it. Who did she cast down? Who? Wounded. You get into a fight with your wife? You and your man have a bad month? When do you think the enemy shows up? Looking all purdy, too. When you are wounded. Don't fall for it. What you say in anger tonight, you're not going to feel in a couple of days. If you're like me, you get into a fight, and if it's a really bad fight, everything in your brain says, I'm out. I'm out of here. I don't need this. I don't deserve this. Why am I dealing with this? Somebody else will treat me better. I'm better off alone. And it usually happens before my wife goes away to visit my daughter in Virginia, before we go on vacation or something like that. And believe it or not, it ain't but a day or two that I'm on the phone. Baby, why did we fight before you left? I'm so sorry I said those things. And then I have this realization, like, how many times are you going to feel the same way in anger and in hurt and not feel the same way in a day? And listen to yourself, stupid. The way you feel now is not the way you're going to feel in a day or two, maybe less. So be careful what you put out there. Be careful of the words that you say. Be careful what you let your mouth utter, because like my old man used to always tell me, don't let your mouth write a check that your butt can't cash. And he didn't use the word butt. And look at the last part of verse 26, which is perfect. And all who were slain by her were strong men. You could circle that word for strong and right next to it write deacons, elders, pastors. Like, how did this happen to you, you idiot? There's an old saying that Pastor Don Dukes, one of my old pastors, used to always say to me. Ryan, he used to say, new level, new devil. You think the attack's bad on you now? Wait till you start that church of yours. Whoa, my daddy used to always say, new level, new devil. They were strong men that she took out. She didn't take out weak men. They were strong men. And you can fill in that word strong there for anything you want to fill it in. Maybe they were strong in finance, and that's why she fell for you anyway, you idiot. It certainly wasn't the way you look. Strong men. Maybe she just liked the way your body looked. Maybe she was so hot, and you couldn't imagine a chick like that falling for you. but you didn't even consider. As soon as you get sick or lose your money, as soon as your testosterone level drops 100 points and you start getting this little chubs right here, she's going to leave you for somebody that looks better. You didn't consider any of that, did you? Nope. All who were slain by her, all who were taken out by her, all who were put down by her were strong men. And let me tell you about this man, this woman. Look at real quick back at verse 6. For I looked at the window of my house. I looked through my lattice. I saw among the simple. I perceived among the youths. Look at verse 15 again. I came out to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I found you. I spread my bed with tapestry. Here it is. Let us delight ourselves with love. Now let's read verse 26, this despondent pit that we've fallen through. For she has cast down many wounded, all who are slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. I need no commentary on that. His house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. And there are a few that have crawled out of death. There's few that have escaped hell. There are. None without scars. Even the Lord Jesus, who ascended from the pit of death. The Bible says, behold, I see one who looks like a slaughtered lamb. Ooh, I hope this Bible study hit home, because it hit home for me. It reminds me what I got. And nobody get me off my game. I don't care what bait is used. I'm looking at those verses. No way. And I promise you. I was going to say something stupid just to make it funny. I was like, I'll kill any man that touches my wife. Something dumb. Ready? Swallowed a jagged pill. Next week it gets a lot better, okay? We're through the tough 5, 6, and 7. Next week is really cool, okay? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. And God, for the timing, the power, the warning, the bars that protect us of your word. Thank you. God, with the true appreciative heart, we thank you that your warning is so descriptive. God, when we run it through our brain and we think like this was written 3,500 years ago, wow, wow. God, it's true. People ain't changed. Father, with the development of all of the social media and dating apps, that nothing's changed, though. It's crazy, God. And God, I do want to say a prayer for the married couples here first, that they would stick with each other. They do what it takes to make it. I pray for the single brothers and sisters that are here, the true virgins, that this would be the warning that they needed and never go astray. And that their testimony would be that of one love. And I pray for the men and women here who did not obey this word through ignorance, through unknown, through culture, through family, through abuse. Heal us, God. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. Restore to us our purity, our innocence. Anoint us with purity, with chastity, with holiness. Thank you, God, that you're a God of forgiveness, restoration, reconciliation. God, may we know the true love of a Savior and not the foolish love of a man or a woman who has deceived us, but the true agape love that we can share. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you and pray in your holy name. Amen.